Harry Carey and Steve Saul back at Wrigley Field, and it's with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce to you the President of the United States taking over the role of a play-by-play announcer, Ronald Reagan, at the mic.
Well, Harry, thank you very much. You know, in a few months, I'm going to be out of work, and I thought I might as well audition.
Well, I'm afraid that you got this job anytime you want it, Mr. President.
All right.
This is John Heibusch, the Executive Director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Library, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on the line, excited to have a man who has been a leader in many different areas, in business and politics, philanthropy, now blending education, tourism, politics, public service, and presidents. Is the executive director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. He's also the author of The Shroud Conspiracy and The Second Coming, the one and only John Heibusch. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, great to be with you, Dan.
It's great to have you on. And 40 years now, it's the 40th anniversary of the inauguration of Ronald Reagan as president, a guy who we call, as much as he's associated, and rightly so, with America and California, we consider him our own too, right? You know, from Dixon, Illinois. So it's a great time to revisit Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, it sure is. The year 2021 is the 40th anniversary year of Ronald Reagan raising his right hand, taking the oath of office, and being our president of the United States. So we're kind of clever at the Reagan Foundation and Library. We decided to celebrate this whole year as his 40th anniversary of his inaugural year. So we're picking dates throughout the year where some very important things happened, and just using those anniversaries to remind people of what a terrific president he was for this nation.
Well, this is one of those where you don't have to find special angles or media-friendly things in order to start and continue that conversation with Ronald Reagan. So, John, you've lucked out. I don't want to say lucked out. I'm sure you've chosen your place and were chosen for good reasons as well. But, you know, this isn't like trying to promote something with Grover Cleveland or something. Like, Ronald Reagan, I don't know if you're surprised, because you're in the business of raising and continuing the conversations, but he's always on sort of the front burner, whether it's politics, legacy, history. Ronald Reagan really hasn't gone off that front page.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's on the lips of so many politicians, businessmen, people in our day and age, Dane. And, you know, it's easy to understand why. The American people they loved and admired, and they still love and admire Ronald Reagan. Gallup does a survey every year, and they ask this open-ended question of the American people: who's your most admired president? And routinely, year after year, you hear George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and not necessarily in that order. Sometimes he comes in as America's most admired president. So you're right. They pay me to do what I do, but they don't need to. It's a labor of love. I just love running the Reagan Library and the Foundation. It's a terrific role to play, really.
One of the things, too, is that you have people who actually knew him. There is so much footage. You know, just the media actually existed then, unlike George Washington and even Abraham Lincoln. We have to kind of go back to stories or history books, and there's a lot of speculation onto what is actual fact. But with Reagan, not only the television side and the movie career and even the affinity and familiarity with sports, I mean, he was there and a real actual person in so many different ways. And of course, on the politics and policy side as well. But John, what is it about Ronald Reagan that you feel resonates with so many people?
He was the quintessential American. You know, he was all about freedom and self-reliance and pulling yourself up. And he was an optimist. He just had this vision of America and its future, and he wanted people to follow where that vision was, and it was a bright and optimistic future. He always called people to be their better selves. He had a great sense of humor. You know, he was a kind of a combination of Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne. just an incredible character. A bigger-than-life kind of person when you walk in the room. You don't meet a lot of people like that, but Ronald Reagan was one, and so he would, people naturally wanted to follow him, and he did a great, great job as a leader.
Let the listeners know we're talking with John Heibusch, executive director over there at the Ronald Reagan Foundation and Institute. And oftentimes these establishments that are part of what is the legacy of a president is you get to build these things. They're called libraries usually, right? And a library doesn't always evoke, excitement, right? It can be important, certainly educational. So talk about this as you represent, you're there on a daily basis, and this is a place that people can visit where it is all the things that we've talked about and that you've mentioned that resonate and that kind of embody Ronald Reagan. This is sort of the physical embodiment of him in the form of a building, and whether it's artifacts or, activations. Talk a little bit about what people experience and see when they get where you are.
Sure, Dane. It's I can understand when you hear the word library, a presidential library, you probably think of these big, staid, old, quiet places with lots of books and some whispering and that sort of thing. Boy, this is so far from that. The Reagan Library, it's the largest, most visited presidential library in the United States. We get about 500,000 people a year that come through there. It's not really a library. It's really more of it's a theme park, really. It's got a massive, massive museum that not only takes you from the beginning to the end of Ronald Reagan's life and all that he stood for, but it also has an enormous special exhibit area where we are rotating in different new interesting exhibits about every 5 or 6 months. It's a bit like going to a mini Smithsonian in a museum in a way. But we've also got outdoors, a lot of the military equipment that came of age during the Reagan years, from the F-117 stealth fighter that you can reach out and touch, an F-14 that shot down the Libyan MiGs, an M1 tank that came online during the Reagan years. There's a huge section of the Berlin Wall that came straight from Berlin. It's a place to experience American history at a very unique time that many of us have lived through, and it's an exciting, vibrant, educational type place to visit.
Everybody tries to think of whatever period they're in as being something that's historically groundbreaking or important. But when you go back and you visit some of those things that happened, these were pivotal times in history for sure, in international relations for sure. I'm sure those are captured as well. And we'll have links up at WGNradio.com with some pictures. But you mentioned it's, kind of a theme park. This is, you have an actual, one of the versions of Air Force One is there, Marine One is there. I mean, there's some really cool stuff to see.
There is. If you might think, okay, I'll go to the Reagan Museum and see these pretty pictures of what the Air Force One he flew on looked like. Well, no, actually, what you can do is go on board, because we have the Air Force One aircraft, a Boeing 707, that flew 7 United States presidents from Lyndon Johnson all the way through to Bush 43. And it's the plane that flew Ronald Reagan for all 8 years of his time in office. You can go on board in the front, stick your head in the cockpit. You can walk all the way through the plane and see how the flying Oval Office was set up. It's really something. We set up the whole museum to make it very interactive. You can really literally reach out and touch history here. So it's an unforgettable experience. It really is.
We promote a lot of the road trips and different ways for families to get out and enjoy, whether it's the national parks and a lot of different things around the country. This would definitely be, as a lot of the presidential foundations and museums and libraries would be. This one specific, as you mentioned, there's probably no substitute for being there in the world of the pandemic and the COVID. We've had to find some substitutes, and you guys have been really active with that as well. Talk a little bit about having a place that is so reach out and touch it and bigger than life in person, but be able to kind of still have it be more things to more people, whether it's online or virtually, what you guys have been doing.
Sure. Well, we have taken everything that was the physical experience at the Reagan Library, and we've transitioned and converted it to create, like many other nonprofits or businesses have, to create a virtual Reagan library. And so you can go online today. And I mean, here's a great example. It's the 40th anniversary of the assassination attempt on President Reagan's life. And we might normally have a big event with, you know, real players, the real actors that were standing next to Ronald Reagan when he was almost shot to death. And because we can't have him at the library, we have a virtual experience, an hour-long program with the two Secret Service agents that saved President Reagan's life, with the speechwriter who was with him, who wrote the speech that morning, his top advance person, all those people, some of them shot, who will be on our program to talk about what a remarkably scary experience that was. And so if it was once done in person in real life, we've brought it online, and we've been able to capture many tens and tens of thousands of more people that now tune into our events, which is a terrific thing. But we also cannot wait until we get back to the day where we can reopen our doors and welcome people there for the true life physical experience as well.
We know that that's coming, you know, down the road, not too far. And during this year, we've seen a lot of progress on that front. So hoping for that, but as part of some of those kind of silver linings that will be part of the new normal, just to be able to have an event like that and be able to convene and revisit that moment in history with, like you said, some of the people who are actually there, I think is a great resource. Well, let's talk about it as people start to make their plans for the, you know, later on in the summer or the fall, or being able to visit it. And the place itself, we've talked about some of the things that are in it, but the setting too, because Ronald Reagan, and when you think of him on a horse, you think of course his love for and affinity for California, and the setting itself as well is there. So not only the cool stuff on the inside, just where it's located and just a beautiful place to visit and really feel California is there at the same time.
Yeah, you know, Dane, it's, of course, if someone wants to visit with us, go online first, make sure we're open. We are hoping to reopen around mid-May. So when you come, you will see it is that shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan spoke of. It's out in Simi Valley, California, about an hour outside of Los Angeles, and it overlooks the great Pacific Ocean, and it's right on this hilltop, and it's an incredibly gorgeous, looks like a ranch setting. It sits in the middle of 400 unspoiled acres. You look out across the mountains and the ocean. Yeah, and President Reagan is buried. President and Mrs. Reagan are buried there facing west, just like the president asked. His gravesite overlooks the ocean and the hills below, but you need to spend all day there because there's that much to see. It really does take that much time.
Here's another thing that you guys and your team, and I'm not sure that this is typical of other libraries or even possible, but as you kind of build in more events to not only share the history and the legacy, that stuff is all there, but also, I mean, I saw coming up on the 14th of April, you have a wine tasting. And so you're kind of getting into who the people were too, right? Maybe some of the things doesn't have world politics or international relations built into it, but it is certainly a big part of them. And there's like a wine tasting event. So talk about some of the other things that may not have this gravitas and historical impact, but we're every bit the Reagans as well.
Sure. You know, we celebrate at the Reagan Library, of course, the big major national holidays from, you know, President's Day, the 4th of July, Veterans Day, those kinds of things. And we have 5,000 people up on our hillside on days like that to enjoy the moment and remember American history. But we also will have things that are of a more social nature. For example, Dane, the wine tasting you talked about, there's a real connection to President Reagan. He was one of the gentlemen that really helped get the California wine industry off the ground in the 1960s and 1970s to have grown into the world force that it is today. We're having four different events with four California wineries that are coming with us online, and they send you the wine at a discount, and you do a wine tasting online. And they're the very same wines that Ronald Reagan served when he was president in the White House. He was a real wine aficionado, and a lot of people don't know that, but, you know, he was a fascinating character with so many interests. And And that was simply one of them. So it's not just an educational place to interact with, but a fun place too.
Well, I do a lot of the food stuff here at WGN Radio as well. And so to be able to highlight that part of it, outside of just kind of the cool factors with the state dinners, but also especially just some of that work that's been done to carry that torch for America and specifically California wine. From a historical standpoint on the food side, that's big too. So here's the thing, is you're also offering people the opportunity to make memories there. I'm sure there's a gift shop located there. I'm sure there's souvenirs where people can get some mementos from their favorite president, Ronald Reagan. There's many people who feel that way. But also, I know we wanted to mention something about the Freedom Blanket. It's still cold here in Illinois. So we we need, like, maybe you don't need them as much as we do, but we're always in need of a blanket.
Well, yeah, you know, Dane, we sell either online or through our massive retail store at the Reagan Library. We sell hundreds of thousands of products that bear President Reagan's image or his name or something he might have said. It's mementos that people just love to get a hold of. And the one that I think we're most proud of that it's helping really pay the salaries of the people at the Reagan Library while it's closed is a blanket. It's called the Reagan Freedom Blanket. And this is so Ronald Reagan. And if you, it's hard to describe for you for radio purposes, but it's the nicest blanket I have ever seen. And it's got
that is high praise, John. That is high praise.
Oh, it's real heavy. It's really thick and warm. And it's got one of Reagan's most memorable quotes of all time on there. And it's the one about freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Wow. Has that quote, his signature, the American flag, the Iwo Jima memorial profile on it. We're selling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So I'm so happy that we created this because it gives the average person a way to wrap themselves in Ronald Reagan and what he stood for. And, yeah, and we're just real proud of it.
Just as we mentioned early on, almost as relevant as ever, President Reagan is, and you mentioned the quote there, certainly is as relevant as ever, as we've been going through a lot here. And it's always, right, America, it's always, there's always something happening, and to build it into something practical and functional and also something that supports the efforts and the team there at the Institute, I think is great as well. We'll have some pictures up at WGNradio.com so people can see the greatest blanket of all time ever. That's from John Highbush. He says that, and that comes with high praise, but a lot of expectations. People are going to be excited to get a chance to see it, as well as the Institute when it opens up, and online in so many different ways as well, with the programs and events that you guys have built in. So before we let you go, give the website for people to get more information, or online social media wise.
Yeah, again, people need only go to reaganfoundation.org and go to our store, and you'll find not just that incredible blanket that's on sale right now, but thousands and thousands of other Reagan mementos as well. So we also sell that great Freedom Blanket on our store on Amazon. You can go there as well. So lots of ways to find what people might be looking for,
and lots of ways to experience all of the action and the history that is there out in California. John Highbush, he is the executive director for the Reagan Institute and Foundation. Thanks so much for what you're doing. We'll let you get back to all of that excitement, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, it's been great to be with you, Dan. Take care of yourself.